back today.
In the House, we even included measures that the president has proposed in his own budget. But yet the president won't support even his own measures unless there's a tax increase. This is a false choice. And the president has been engaging in this rhetoric of a false choice for weeks now.
Bad chance we're going to see any kind of a compromise. But really, do we want to? Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. That was Eric Cantor. And you heard what he had to say about the sequester that's coming up on March 1st. He's not the only one with an opinion. Ask anybody in the House or anybody in the Senate, for that matter, as to whose fault it is or what they think will happen, including Congressman Jim Moran, who talked about longer screening lines if you're flying anywhere.
We're told that those longer lines, as a result of fewer TSA screeners, could be up to an hour at busy airports like this one.
All right, so busy airports, if you're flying any big fat hubs, if you're going to Atlanta, Dallas, Philly, Chicago, Minneapolis, for that matter, if you're going to L.A., San Francisco, or how about Kansas City, you might have to wait a little bit longer flying in and out. You know, the bottom line is, too bad for you whiners in Washington. You knew this was going to happen. You knew it. So how dare anybody try to throw it in our face that, oh, we're trying so hard and we're blaming the other guy for screwing up because we had these $85 billion in cuts that are going to definitely hamper our ability to defend ourselves, and now we're going to have to let go of some people that are key at the airport. So, geez, I hope we don't have another 9/11. Like Janet Napolitano from Homeland Security didn't realize that. Any of the senators or congresspeople involved in this had no idea. Of course they knew that this was going to happen. They voted on it, and the cabinet knew it, and this is what the president set up. This is how it was coming down. When there was the so-called super committee back in 2011 and the Democrats and the Republicans didn't come up with a plan to cut and tax and figure out a compromise, it went to the sequester. And it was just a matter of pushing the button on the sequester. Well, guess what? The button is ready to be pushed on March 1st. But who in the end suffers for this? Of course, the middle class that the Democrats and the Republicans say they're trying to help. But it's the middle class that will feel the effects of it, no doubt. Because we're standing in the lines. Unless you have the fast pass or you're paying $1,700 for a flight that costs you $400, then you're going to wait a little bit longer in the lines. If you get bumped up to first class, then you'll get in a little bit sooner. So there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be surprised and upset by what happens. Don't tell us about border security. Don't tell us about the negative impacts and that we're not safe, because this is what was in play all along. This was in play all along, and they knew it at the Pentagon, and they knew it in every other place that was being affected by the automatic spending cuts. So now it's time to pay the piper. And there is no compromise. There is no deal that's going to happen. So they can talk about it, and they can go back and forth, and they can blame. And we're the suckers that, I guess, listen to it all and absorb it. But in the end, we're the ones that are going to feel the effects, for sure, versus the people who aren't going to be waiting in the lines, who aren't living right next to the border, and who also aren't relying on a paycheck from the military when they come back from serving overseas, because there's not going to be any job or any place for them to go. Don't want to be all doom and gloom this hour of America Tonight. So to be sure, we're going to talk about some other things, including I'm going to introduce you to a reporter who did a fascinating story about gondolas. Can you imagine where you're living? Think of the gondolas on the ski slopes. If there's a traffic problem, can you imagine if your city decided to go with the gondola approach where you could jump on, fly high above the city, and end up where you were supposed to be at some other stop, but you didn't have to worry about your car or parking or any of that. And if you were in the car, you'd be stuck in ferocious traffic. That's what one city in Texas outside of Austin, it's really a bedroom community of Austin, is actually considering because it's that bad when it comes to the traffic. And I was surprised that the cost was much less than a bus line or any other kind of transit. Will it actually happen? You think 15 people or so to a gondola? Not sure. Could be relaxing, though, couldn't it? You know, that's one of my favorite things to do when you go to one of those Disneyland parks. Go on the gondola and just, in slow motion, kind of go around and circle around the park. But there might be more of a backup of the people trying to ride the gondolas, and it might seem too much like an amusement ride. I don't know how they would actually make that work, but I thought it sounded pretty cool anyway, and definitely cutting edge. It would be the very first city to do that, where you weren't doing a tourism thing or going up into the mountains or, you know, whatever. So we've got weather, too, with this blizzard blasting the southern plains again, and I mean blasting it. It's a lot of snow for a lot of people. Boy, it has been a wild winter in some cases. This time we're talking about New Mexico, Texas, Oklahoma, and Kansas. High winds, a foot of snow already in some places. In Amarillo, Texas, I know they had a foot of snow. In Missouri and Illinois, where a lot of you are listening to us, Wisconsin and Michigan, also you're going to feel the effects of the storm, too. A lot of heavy snow, so we're going to be looking at snow amounts. That means if you have to go out there, be very careful what happens in snow, especially when you can't see and you're trying to drive and get from point A to point B and you think you're okay, and then, you know, you realize, I can't see anything. I got nothing in front of me. That is a scary, scary proposition, and that's what's happening already to a lot of people. So because of that, flights were canceled. A lot of flights were canceled because the storm was already started, and it's already starting to show the effects with the amount of snow that's starting to come down in Oklahoma and along the Kansas border. They're talking about just how dangerous it is, and it's because that driving snow. Then what's really crazy, in Louisiana, they're saying a late afternoon tornado smashed a whole bunch of cars and downed a bunch of power lines. But for some of you, that's old news because you deal with it all the time. I mean, this is just part of this time of year and the weather. It just seems like we're getting hit a little bit harder than in previous years. To me, anyway, it might not feel that way to you. Hey, if you want to throw in your 2 cents, who do you blame for all this fiscal conversation that we're constantly having of doom and gloom that's about to hit us? 855-266-5283. Meet you on the flip side. Of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Gold Isn't For You? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30%, while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us, and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy 3 Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed-saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American-owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
Well, party, and confused. It's cause lately you've been starting to lose. Losing out on everything you might try to do. Bad luck fella's got to hold on you. Losing money's about to lose your home. Done lost your woman and everything you own. The chances go around. But if you want to know the truth about it, I'll tell you what's wrong with you.
We're going to sprinkle in some odds and ends here in this segment of America Tonight. And as I said, coming up in our next segment, we're going to talk about the possibility of gondolas. Can you imagine getting around in a city in gondolas? Hey, when you got to figure out what you're going to do with the traffic crunch and you got to look at the budget. That's what smart people do, at least in some municipalities anyway. We can't get it together federally. For the states and for some of the individual cities, they're smart enough to look at the dollars and cents and try to figure out some real solutions. So why not, if it works, why not put it on the table? I ultimately don't think they'll end up doing it in a place called Round Rock, but maybe if there's enough support for it, who knows? Stranger things have happened, and that would definitely, I think, on the weekends be one of those sightseeing things maybe that people would do. Hey, I'll go into the city. I'll jump on the gondola. Wow, crazy. All right, some people think it's crazy to suggest teachers being armed in the schools. I'm not really one of those. And the reason I feel that way is I have a friend that lives in Israel. And in Israel, who's an American, and in Israel, the teachers are armed. Not every single one, but the majority of them have a weapon. Of course, Israel is a much different country than the United States. I know we could talk about that and all the lobbing of rockets that come over from the Palestinians and things that happen and what can ultimately take place in an Israeli school and how they're raised, serving in the military, being concerned about the possibility, living their lives, being concerned about the possibility so they're ready to roll. And the teachers there don't think it's a big deal. They feel very confident in their abilities and whatnot. So what about in the United States, because of some of the shooting sprees that we've had, some of the mass killings, especially in, obviously in schools, this has been suggested as a way to stop somebody who would do harm to the kids and to give the teacher that last line of defense besides automatic locked doors and some other things. There was an online survey done of over 10,000 teachers and some administrators from all 50 states that was conducted in late January by the School Improvement Network. So because of the conversation since Newtown, Connecticut, about arming teachers, this nationwide survey shows that 3 in 4 teachers or educators say they would be unlikely to bring a weapon to school if they were allowed to do that. Even among the 36% who say they own a gun, check this out, only 1 in 3 would be likely to bring it to school. Now, the full-fledged thing due out Wednesday was conducted, like I said, in late January by the School Improvement Network. It's a teacher training company, and they put out all kinds of different surveys and are good at crunching the numbers. Now, this has happened since Sandy Hook, like I said, in Connecticut, the elementary school shooting there. And one thing that's agreed upon is they have to have improved school security. Proposals, of course, are, you know, what about police presence in the school? I think that should be mandatory, frankly. But also arming teachers and, you know, the idea of thwarting that person who could possibly come into the classroom. And there are teachers who are going through training. A lot of teachers in Texas, I use the word a lot, but a lot compared to what we saw in the past. Several of the owners of some concealed handgun training sites are saying that since a couple of months ago, there have been more teachers coming in because they'll say, this is what I want to do and this is why I want to use it. One guy was quoted. His name is John Price. He owns Big Iron Concealed Handgun Training in Waco, Texas, and he's trained 1,100 teachers to carry a concealed weapon under the law in that state. It restricts permit holders from carrying guns on campus, but allows school districts to override the restriction. So, are they ready to carry the gun in the school? They obviously have to be trained extensively and know what they're doing, which is always my deal. The well-armed but informed and responsible gun owner is my preference without a doubt. How would you feel about a child, a grandchild, a niece, a nephew in a school with teachers who had guns in the room, in their desk? The survey that was done showed that overwhelmingly the majority of teachers feel their schools are safe, 92%, but 1 in 3 say their school is not safe from gun violence. 90%, here's a key number, say having an armed police officer in school would improve safety. 12% say armed cops in schools would make schools less safe. So they're saying an armed police officer would improve safety, but armed cops in schools would make schools less safe. That's interesting, isn't it? Sounds like they're parallel, opposing each other. So what's happened is some of this has switched on some people. Their thinking has flipped about safety and when the kids are in school and, you know, is it appropriate or necessary to have armed police officers or whatnot in these schools. The NRA Executive VP, Wayne LaPierre, as many of you know, said to Congress and others, whatever you have to do to have that happen is what you should do, because there is a blanket of safety already in place that can happen. And no, the bad guy has a gun, and guess what? One of the good guys is there, and they have a gun. So I say whatever means necessary that is the safest. If a teacher is comfortable with it and the school district especially is comfortable with it and there's lots of training and whatnot, fine. But I don't think we're ever going to see a full widespread press for that because so many will fear that a kid could get the gun or something could happen or there might be an accident or what if someone shot? And, of course, all these alternatives are we are hoping do not happen in the schools. I mean, who wants to be that parent that gets that horrible message that something is going on at the school and to stay away or go down to the firehouse because we'll let you know whether or not your kid made it. That's not how they put it. But now, because of Newtown, Connecticut, certainly everybody knows, hey, if they put you in a holding spot, maybe your kid's not going to make it. And that has to be a horrific feeling to get that kind of notification or have somebody call and talk about it. All right, I said that this was odds and ends, so here's a quick one for you. The worst day of the year on Wall Street, ding, 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 was when? It was, in fact, Monday. And why is that? Because they're having some bad news in Italy, for one. Bad news tanks the market. So the Dow and the S&P had their biggest one-day decline of the year because of the instability in the boot in that country. That's the mentality on the market. You know, there's nothing specific, but they're just talking about some of the difficulties that they're having there. We don't even know truly, ultimately, what's going to happen from these elections. So they're talking about projections that the former prime minister, Silvio Berlusconi, and his anti-austerity allies aren't far behind in the Senate race, which is decided regionally to regionally. So they've got gridlock in the Italian Senate. They say that could undermine the progress Italy is making in overhauling their economy. So that affects our markets, believe it or not. Crazy, isn't it? So nothing specific, just like lemmings, you hear bad news or what seems to be bad news, and our markets tank. That's why you have to have a diversified portfolio, because it's like gambling, like standing at the craps table when you play the stock market. All right, we're talking about gondolas as a mode of transportation in one Texas city next.
Healthy soils grow healthy plants. So before you plant your survival garden this year, is your soil healthy? Maximize your crisis garden soil with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 organic soil conditioner, fertilizer amendment, and compost accelerant provides healthier gardens and faster, efficient garden composting. EM1 from Terraganics.com quickly improves soil structure by increasing nutrient availability and converting organic matter into soil humus. This improves seed germination and root growth, improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, nutrient value of fruits and vegetables, and improves shelf life. And when rain is not in the forecast, no worries. EM1 improves moisture retention in soils, helping reduce drought stress. Just like you prepare all else, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at TerraGanics.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
You land in Buenos Aires, then are shuttled to Santa Rosa for a nicely furnished cabin with all amenities. Wi-Fi, executive food and wine, and laundry service awaits. After a good night's sleep, your adventure begins. You're on a golden stag safari for big game. But it's not Africa, it's Argentina. One-on-one guided hunts for water buffalo, cougar, bighorn rams, wild boar, and the biggest stag deer in South America. All gold medal quality. All the action you can handle. Land Rovers, top rental guns with scopes, all food, beverages, hunting guides, ground transportation included, and more, all more affordable than you can imagine. The adventure of a lifetime starts at GoldenStagSafaris.com. The big game hunting ranch, GoldenStagSafaris.com.
Is there a less expensive way to detoxify your body?
Yes, microplant powder from hempusa.org frees your body of toxins from vaccinations, pharmaceutical residues, heavy metals, parasites, and toxic chemicals in your food and water for around $10 a month. Microplant powder removes virus, fungus, and bacteria while cleaning and purifying the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. It unclogs arteries and softens heart valves. Plus, microplant powder can be taken with any liquid, any pharmaceutical at any time. It's truly the easiest and most cost-effective way to clean and detoxify your body for around $10 a month. Microplant powder from hempusa.org. It really works. And for persistent health issues, try our Matrix Bio Powder together with microplant powder for a deeper cellular cleaning. Call 888-910-4367. That's 888-910-4367. And see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at hempusa.org.
Who wants to be disease-free, full of energy, and vibrant health? Two reasons you may feel constantly tired and run down could be that your body's acid level is high and your pH level is low. How does acid enter your body? A cup of coffee, a sandwich, tap water, stress, and cell phones. Plus, your own body produces acid on a regular basis. AlkaVision Plasma pH drops alkalize the water you drink and raise your pH level. They promote more oxygen in your system, higher energy potential, and many other documented health benefits. And studies show viruses, bacteria, and toxins cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops is the least expensive and the best pH level product you can buy. Order AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for just $29.95 at AlkaVision.com, spelled AlkaVision.com, or call 800-518-7615. That's 800-518-7615. Alkalize your body, supercharge your health with pH Drops from AlkaVision.com.
City that's not easy to get around in, and it's growing, but it's not like one of those old established East Coast, Northeast places like Philly or New York. Not that they don't have their own problems, but they have those subway systems already in place, and they have a grid going. What if you're someplace like Austin, Texas, or Round Rock, Texas, which really is just a stone throw away from Austin, and you're trying to figure out what to do with this growing population? Trust me, I have been frustrated driving through there and spending time, even in like I said, the bedroom community of Round Rock. It's crazy trying to crawl in and around. I can't imagine working there. Mark Licheron joins us now. He's with Watchdog.org. And he's going to tell us about this interesting story he did with Mayor Alan McGraw, who's considering, check this out, adding gondolas to what they would do with this population, because they don't have a bus system. They really don't have a, they don't have a train. They don't have anything rooted like they do in the Northeast. So what about gondolas like the, you know, the ski stuff? When we go skiing, we jump on the gondolas. What if you had that in a city like Round Rock? What a crazy proposal, but what an awesomely, what an awesome idea in another way. And I think it's probably cost effective too, but we're going to let Mark fill us in. Mark, I saw your story and I was like, wow, that is, I'd never heard of that before, but maybe there are other places that are considering it. Why did the mayor, first of all, welcome to the show, but how did the mayor come up with this idea in the first place?
Well, it wasn't so much that the mayor came up with it, although I mentioned in my story that the mayor had been sort of thinking in real abstract terms because of you have to know a little bit about Texas transportation culture, but in the vast majority of places, both urban and rural in Texas, cars and pickup trucks are king. And a lot of the problems, a lot of the urban problems that people have, Mr. McGraw is not alone in thinking about how to move people in and around all of the traffic that Texas cities already have. So he was thinking sort of in abstract terms about, gee, wouldn't it be great if we could go up and over all of this? And it turned out that there was a design firm in Austin that was already thinking about this, and that's where the that's how the gondola project got generated.
Yeah, what the what's been the reaction to that? To your piece and to sort of now the conversation about it. What's been the reaction of the people in Round Rock? Do you know?
Well, the I think the reaction is similar to what Mayor McGraw told me at the outset, which is sort of when people mention building a gondola in a suburb of Austin that doesn't have any public transportation. I think the initial reaction is, "Are you out of your mind?" And in many respects, when you don't have a bus system or, commuter trains that you have in the northeast part of the country, thinking of a gondola system as your launch for public transportation is thinking outside of the box. And I think that's the way the public is treating it here in the Austin Round Rock area.
What about the cost? Because, you know, that's what everybody cares about. What about the cost to put this in? How much is it going to cost us?
Well, it's and Frog Design, the designers or the planners for this, pretty freely admit that their estimates are pretty rudimentary. But at the outside, it would cost about a quarter of what the experts in Austin who are wrestling with their own commuter train problems would be charging per mile. I think in Austin they were talking about $100 million a mile to put in railroad track, and the gondola people are saying $24 million at the outside, which would be a quarter of what it would be to put track in. But you have to keep in mind that one of the things that the design doesn't really address is how do you get those people to whatever your circuit is, whether it's in downtown Round Rock or whether it goes 5 or 6 miles in a circle around Round Rock, and all of those tertiary costs. So it's still kind of nebulous, although they're saying it's a lot cheaper than railroad.
Yeah, and this is interesting, and you mentioned this in your piece, too, that Round Rock was named as one of the most innovative cities in the country, and in fact, the second most innovative city back in 2010. Why is Round Rock such an innovative city?
Well, and I don't want to shortchange Round Rock because of, I'm sure there are lots of innovative people there. I think Mayor McGraw considers himself one of those people. But in large part, Round Rock gets included among innovative cities because Dell is there. And, of course, Dell has been a boon to the area. But the decision to be in Round Rock, I think, speaks to how forward-thinking some of the city fathers are in Round Rock. There, a couple of years ago, there was some talk of bringing a minor league baseball team into Austin, and the Austin City Council fumbled it. Round Rock said, "We will be the host," and now you've got AAA Round Rock Express Baseball up in Round Rock, and that's sort of the reputation that the city has gotten.
Yeah. I wonder how, I'm sure you thought about this when you were putting this together, but and as somebody who's in Texas, would you take that? Would that be a cool system? Would you jump on the gondola if you could?
Well, yes and no. I would encourage all your listeners to read my story. It would have been easy to simply say, to scoff at the mayor and say, well, this is kind of a silly idea because, you know, it's nobody's thinking about gondolas anyway, and you're in a suburb where people are probably commuting out of your community, and everybody is saying that this gondola thing would be fine for intra-city transportation, but an absolutely miserable idea if you wanted to go by gondola from Round Rock to Austin. So, if I was in Round Rock, I had some time on my hands, I think it might be fun to take a spin over Round Rock. But as a practical matter, I think they have a lot of questions to answer about how many people would actually be interested, how many people could be moved in both their morning and afternoon rush hours. And really how, you know, bottom line, how practical is that gondola system going to be for them?
Yeah. Yeah, you talk about it because the top speed is 15 miles an hour, and you'd have to have fewer than a dozen people to a gondola, and it'd have to be that remaining loop that goes back and forth. Think of skiing. And one of the pleasurable things about skiing, I think, is that you have that time while you are actually descending on the mountain, you know, or ascending on the mountain, then coming down on your skis, but you have time to have that conversation. So there would be parts to it that I think would be pretty cool, but there would be parts that they would definitely have to figure out. But they're really pursuing this, huh?
Well, it's now open-ended. I think the mayor and the city council was very receptive to the presentation. I've talked to both the designers and the and city officials, and it's sort of like, we've now received this. I don't think either side is expecting that there's going to be some committed planning beginning tomorrow. So how serious? I can't really say. Receptive, yes. Serious, and in the planning stages, nothing on deck.
How big is the population now? Because it's really booming, it's really growing, and how serious the traffic problem is serious, isn't it?
Well, Round Rock is, I believe, Round Rock's topped 100,000 now, and that is it is one of the fastest growing cities in the state of Texas, maybe one of the fastest growing in the country, and the traffic problem and. This is one of the reasons why Austin has had its problems with trying to wrestle with its transit because, again, most cities are car-based. And I think, obviously, Round Rock is entirely car-based. It is also a suburb, and although Dell is based there, and I'm sure there are a lot of people who live in Round Rock and go to work at Dell, there's a lot of commuting that goes back and forth. And so I think the transportation stresses between Round Rock and Austin are the things that ought to be kept in mind rather than simply how do we move people around the city of Round Rock.
Yeah, I agree with you. Interesting stuff. Mark Licheron, would love to have you back on again. Watchdog.org. Take care. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thanks, Mark.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeCig.com. And LeCig smokes the competition.
nation by serving thousands of worldwide customers with Real People customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeSig.com, spelled LeSig.com. LeSig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
You've come to expect winter specials from Herbal Healer Academy, and we're not going to let you down. Battle through cold and flu season with powerful, natural, and safe flu fighters. Antivirals like olive leaf extract capsules and elderberry power. Vitamin D3, 180 caps, only $9. Beta-glucans and an incredible immune system booster. Our own 4-herb tea capsules and Respa 8, all specially priced during the winter sale at herbalhealer.com. Also, exclusive homeopathic detoxes for lungs, kidneys, liver, whole body, and lymph are on sale. Herbal Healer Academy offers correspondence courses to teach you how to handle your health naturally. And as always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on and save big now when you hit the winter specials at herbalhealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time since 1988. Celebrating 25 years in service to the natural healthcare industry.
Are you always 5 minutes late? Maybe you're only late when you don't want to be somewhere. Then you realize you're always 5 minutes late. For work, you set 3 alarms, drag your feet in the shower, drink your coffee slowly until you're rushing out the door. 5 minutes late. It's not that you hate your job. Hate is such a strong word. You're just not that excited about it. But most people don't love what they do, right? Listen, if you're local to the Twin Cities and Burnsville, are hardworking, self-driven with experience in sales, marketing, or advertising, are personable, and a whiz on the phone, you might want to join one of the largest independent talk radio networks in the world, GCN. Because right now, we are hiring, and we offer benefits. Experience preferred, but we'll train the right person. Is that you? Submit your resume today to advertise at gcnlive.com. That's advertise at gcnlive.com. Come work with the Genesis Communications Network, where you'll want to be 5 minutes early every day.
A special moment with Hugh Jackman up there on the stage.
I literally would not be here without him. He's the tenderest, sweetest, kindest, purest person, and I'm just in awe of him.
I feel like I can't even remember. That's just kind of an insane moment. And it was just really exciting. It was just really just shocking. I think I was just, that's the first time I think I've ever felt like actual shock.
And it doesn't matter how you get knocked down in life, because that's going to happen. All that matters is that you got to get up.
Stephen didn't have to persuade me to play Lincoln, but I had to persuade him that perhaps if I was going to do it, that Lincoln shouldn't be a musical.
All right, so that was Daniel Day-Lewis. Before that, Ben Affleck, Jennifer Lawrence, and Anne Hathaway, all winners from the Oscars just the other day over the weekend. Somebody was watching the award show, folks, because it was up almost 20% in the ratings. Perhaps we need a great escape from all the nonsense in Washington and everything else that ails us. We're hitting the final turn here on the straightaway to the end of this hour on America Tonight. Matt, you're a big fan of movies. You've certainly rented movies or gotten movies and that kind of thing, and you saw a lot of the movies this year, and I saw a lot of the movies. We do a cheap movie review here on America Tonight. A lot of people send in their thoughts when they go and see something. Frankly, a lot of people are going to the dollar movies because the movies go to the cheap theaters, and then right away they're on video on demand. But Argo won Best Picture. Do you think that Argo should have been Best Picture?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of movies, not award shows, though, so I didn't watch any of the Oscars. But I think Argo was a pretty awesome movie. That was my two favorite movies that I watched this year of, you know, the theatrical movies were Argo and Silver Linings Playbook. Zero Dark Thirty I thought was really good as well, but I thought those two movies were a little bit better. And then Searching for Sugar Man, which also won for Best Documentary, that was another great movie that I watched.
Yeah, Searching for Sugar Man I liked. You told me to watch it. I did. It was great. I would recommend that to anyone, too. I don't even want to spoil the whole thing for you. If you don't know anything about it, just rent it. It'll cost you like $2 or whatever it is on Vudu or Netflix or whatever. But it was excellent. I liked all the same movies that Matt liked. And, you know, you pick one, any flavor would really work. I kind of think Zero Dark Thirty should have gotten it over Argo, but I liked both of them. And I think both of them are worth renting when they come out. And I agree with Matt, too. I don't care about the pretty ladies and the pretty dresses that haven't eaten for 2 weeks or any of that kind of nonsense. I like the speeches because I want to hear what people said, and I like to find out what the comedians did because I like comedians, frankly. So if they're good and there's some funny lines, I like to hear those. Seth MacFarlane, kind of the verdict was out on him. It was kind of a, he's all right, whatever. Not rave reviews, but he did okay. The guy is clever when it comes to Family Guy, Bob's Burgers, all the animated things that he does. He's the man of a million voices, not even 40 years old, and I think he's very, very talented. Maybe he feels the same way about award shows. Why am I here doing an awards show? Might be good for some of the careers of some of the people, who knows, often those who win them say, you know, I thought I was going to be able to cash in, and in the end I wasn't. But like everything else in life, it is so political because you have the lobbying for pictures where they spend millions of dollars to pump it out there again. There are 5,800 people who vote on the movies and the actors and actresses and all the other things connected to the movies, director and film editing and all of that. They send out videos of everything to the people who are part of the Academy. They vote, then the results are tabulated, and the rest is history. So it's 5,800 people. And in Hollywood, the people with money lobby to get their pictures, in many cases, especially the best picture category, to get that on top as much as possible. So there you have it. It's not about lobbying because Marissa Mayer doesn't care. How many people listening to America Tonight work from home, or do you drive in to a job somewhere? Do you work a third shift in a factory? Are you working in some other store? Do you own a store? Do you have your own family business? Or do you work from home, period, end of story? So Marissa Mayer, if you don't know who she is the head of Yahoo. Yeah, remember Yahoo that got trounced by Google and everybody else that surpassed them? She's trying to turn things around. So when she first came on board, she handed out iPhones and free food and all that kind of stuff. Now she's telling people who have been working from home, and there's a whole bunch of them, that they need to come back to the office because she thinks it's better to collaborate and communicate and get things done that way, and it's harder to make connections when you work remotely. So no more working from home. I mean, how many, because they probably have some long distance people who either have to relocate or get rid of their jobs. There's about 11,000, almost 12,000 employees that are in that kind of category where they're working in other places. So do they have to move, or do they come to the office, or what happens there? I would assume that's what they have to do. So this is a big one. It's probably a shock to people who work remotely. And I don't know, some of the other people who work in offices, because of the ones who normally aren't working in the office, they get a day or two away, they're going to have to come back. Isn't that interesting? I wonder if it'll work out for Yahoo. She has a point. Face-to-face communication. What an interesting concept. But it's the opposite of where most work is happening. In fact, for some people, the ability to work from home is actually better because they don't have to waste commute time. They're not stressed out, dumping people off, kids and this and that here and there. Instead, they feel like they can drill down and focus on their work, and then maybe there's distractions, at home. Maybe there's distractions at work. Who knows? I think in some companies, the productivity goes up when people work from home. They're not wasting time hanging at a desk, talking, chatting. I feel like if they have a quota, a thing that they have to do, they have to get it done. So they know that. They know they're on the clock. They know there's a certain workload. It just, I guess, depends on the job description, I would say. But what a bold move by this female CEO who's already rocked the boat because she had a baby, and then there was a debate about women running a company and as a CEO and being a new mother, how can you do both well? How can you have your cake and eat it too, just like a man? So she already had that going on for her. Now she's telling the people that are working from home, you got to come in. Oh my, oh my, oh my. Interesting times that we live in. All right, unfortunately, this is a sad story. Some breaking news for you. 14 tourists who were taking a hot air balloon ride near an Egyptian city of Luxor were killed when the balloon exploded and fell to the ground. A lot of people who've never been on a balloon ride fear this because what is there to stop you? You're in the balloon. Geez, it seems so safe. But what happens when you're really high and something happens to that balloon? So you had 21 people in it when it fell 300 meters, which is about 1,000 feet. So three people were hospitalized. These balloon rides are supposedly pretty cool because you got the aerial views of the Nile River and the temples that you can see, popular, obviously, tourist attractions. And these were tourists from different areas, from England and France and Japan and Belgium and Hong Kong. Supposedly no Americans were on board when at all in this balloon ride, but it is popular. Lots of Americans have certainly taken it when they've gone over there, so very, very sad. You know, like I said, there's this false sense of security sometimes when you go in a balloon. I've taken two balloon rides, and not quite that high, and certainly not for a crazy length of time. I think the longest one I went on was maybe a half an hour, and I was with the film crew, and it was for the Albuquerque balloon fiesta, and it was really, really fun, but there was a lot of balloons up there, and I have to admit, it was a little scary at first as you lift off and you're just in the basket and realizing when you come down, you might roll, and we did roll when the basket actually hit the ground and we came back down again. So sad news from Egypt, without a doubt.
And Body Extract continues to receive positive testimonials from people who have experienced amazing results, like Reed.
I just wanted to send you a quick but a very big thank you for Heart and Body Extract. I've been on the formula for nearly a month now, and the improvement in the circulation of my leg has been simply amazing.
Reed was facing a tough choice.
I was facing surgery due to the severity of 100% blocked arteries in both my legs. And my decision, waiting for surgery, to say no and try Heart and Body Extract instead, has been thankfully the right decision.
And the result?
I can now walk up steps without noticeable pain.
Order Heart and Body Extract at 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, for a long and healthy life.